Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffendaffer. Thanks for joining me. I know it's a little bit last minute with my schedule being a little upside down. I appreciate y'all having your notifications on. Fortunately, I don't even think this was in the 30-minute window, so several of you might not have received notification, but for those who are here, I can't thank you enough. I also today will not have photos. I love to have photos, but it's just a download and bandwidth issue where I'm at. So, but this is really important. I wanted to come on live today to talk about Nolan Wells. Specifically, the GPS information is back. And this is what we call facts and data and information that can't be disputed. And it showed where the boat that Nolan Wells was on, where was it? Well, we know now exactly where it was. We know when it left. We know when it arrived. And I want to go through those timelines very specifically with you because it's important. And it's important because there's been a lot of misinformation about this case. And it's really important to get it out there. So Ocean Springs is where the boat left from. And it left at 9:56 in the morning. So at 9:56, it leaves. In their destination was Horn Island. At 11:14, it arrives at Horn Island. So again, this is on the 4th of July. This is all of these folks, kids, really young kids. He was 18 and all his buddies coming together. Just a little bit about Nolan Wells, too. From everything I've read, this was a very fun, nice, very popular young man, a young man that it's just tragic what happened in this scenario. But he headed out with his buddies and that he apparently grew up with and are from this area. And so, again, this is in Mississippi, and this is a barrier island located off of the coast of Mississippi. So it's not at a lake or anything else. I just wanted to make that clear because there was some miscommunication about this. Also, in terms of where they went and who was there, well, if you can imagine what we call a raft up, at least in the VI, and that is where you have boat after boat after boat that rafts up. In other words, they put down their anchor, you bury it down deep in the sand on shore, and you are literally all just in a row, just boat after boat after boat after boat. And for those of you who have seen the pictures, and again, I would have a picture up if it was humanly possible, but it is not right now. Basically, this was hundreds of people there, many people there, and these guys were going to join in the fun. I mean, this was such a cool thing to do. For those of you who do raft ups, they are a ball. And it also explains a lot of details in terms of why, for instance, Nolan Wells didn't have his phone. He didn't have his phone because you're in a raft up. You are literally waist deep or more in water. And according to the weather report, there were horrible, horrible riptides on the 4th. You can go ahead and look that up too, because that, again, is information that can't be manipulated by somebody's feelings or somebody's thoughts. It's data that is what it is. And there were horrible riptides in and around Horn Island, this island that I just spoke of, when they went to raft up. So they go and they raft up. The phones are on the boat, having a great time. Everything is going well. And then according to witness statements, and there's dual statements, he was going to stay back and, you know, he had seen a girl he was interested in, and as they say in Good Will Hunting, he was staying back to see about a girl. Meanwhile, they did interview her, and she said that he said he was going to go back with his buddies. I don't think these two are independent notions. They're thoughts and things that were likely said, but they were said at different times. In other words, he tells his buddy, I'm going to go see about the girl. It doesn't really work out with the girl. And then he tells the girl, hey, I'm headed back with the boys. And to be clear, too, there were all these boats there, and it is not unusual at all in a raft up that you head back on a different boat than you came in. Typically, these people are going to all know each other. They've done raft ups before. This is a great island location off of Mississippi, very popular. And so you get to know different people that do these, because only so many people have boats. So I wanted to lay a little bit of the framework too, in case you are not familiar with this case. Again, Nolan Wells, he went missing initially. He was found 2 days later, drowned at this island, Horn Island. But the GPS is what's the newest information. And so that's why I wanted to go over this really quickly with you. So, at 11:14, they arrive. And this is really cool, because when you do these raft ups, you start early. And you start early and you bring food and you bring beverages. And it's such a ball. It really is. You go boat to boat. I know in some that we did, literally people would have their spread out and you would have a little bit from this boat, from the next boat, and everybody else shares. This, I think, was much more individualized, where you brought your own beverages and your own food and things along that line. But it's really a fun, wholesome party type atmosphere. And when I say wholesome, I just mean it's great, I think, to see kids, instead of on their video games all day long, they're actually doing something that has to do with nature. So it's pretty cool. All right, I want to go on with the timeline, and I'm doing this to be very, very specific. So at 4:31, they leave Horn Island. So just to give you, again, that time, it's approximately 5 hours later. Now, think about this, everyone, because you're partying now for 5 hours. It's kind of a long time, and this is an extremely hot situation. So it's hot, you're in the water, but you know, the sun's beating down on you. Again, there were adult beverages involved in this case. There's a lot of photographic evidence of that. And a lot of people say, and including the mother of Nolan, says, listen, he always liked to do snaps. Well, you're not going to do snaps and record underage drinking, and you're not going to do snaps in the water. It's like I said, this is kind of one of those moments where teens and adults and everybody just bench the cell phones, even though they are important to kids. This is one of those times where people actually put their cell phones away because they don't want to ruin their $1,300 cell phone, because all it takes is one of those riptides coming in that makes the water rise, and now you've got a wet cell phone. So everybody knows, nobody's on their cell phone. You go back to the boat if you want to make a call or something, but it's basically a day where you're committed to just having fun and having a good time with those in and around you. So wanted to be clear on that. Two things, in other words, why was his cell phone not on him? One, the water. And two, you do not want to be Snapchatting or recording underage drinking. And he was a football player. He was at a junior high and, or I'm sorry, a small college, not a junior high, sorry. He was at a small college. He was a wide receiver, played football. And I'll tell you what, the last thing these coaches want to see are issues with that. They know what happens, but they don't want that on social media. And that is something I have firsthand knowledge with, is these coaches come out and they tell their players, listen, do not be recording. Do not do anything like that, because A, it's illegal, minor in possession, underage drinking. Just please use discretion. And so there's two reasons to me why you're never going to Snapchat underage people drinking, and why you don't have your cell phone. All right, just wanted to touch on that. Back to the GPS information. Now, to be clear, Nolan wasn't in his boat. He was in a boat of his buddies. So at 4:31, the boat departs Horn Island. And we know from information that actually NBC obtained, and it's basically information regarding trouble that the boys were having on the boat, where the bilge, which sucks out that water, the bilge was not working correctly. And that was causing their boat to take on water. And they were concerned about it. It's a really short boat ride back to the mainland. But anyway, they leave at 4:31 and they specifically talk about this boat problem. Their buddy Nolan says, I'm going to see about a girl. They head out with this boat issue. So things weren't operating very well on this boat. Again, it was taking on water. So their first stop, so basically about an hour and 20 minutes later, they actually arrive at Fort Bayou Boat Launch. Now, this is in the same area in Ocean Springs in Mississippi. So they arrive there and then they leave there just a short time after and go to their original point of departure. And then at 7:19, they come back to Fort Bayou Boat Launch. Now, you might be saying, well, what's this all about, Jen? Well, they go to the boat launch initially. In my view, this is going to come out. We'll see. This is where we say I'm going to give you facts, but now I'm going to give you a real quick explanation what I think happened. And this is just from experience in these things. I think what happened is they arrive at 5:52. Again, they departed at 4:31. So that's all in keeping with the time frame. This isn't a long, long boat ride. And they arrive at the Fort Bayou Boat Launch. But their original point of departure, where the boat first left from and everybody was all these guys gathered together, when you look at that, it tells me perhaps, and you see this a lot, that individuals that were back riding on the boat, they need to drop people off. So they go to the boat launch, and at that point, they return back at 7:19 p.m. So perhaps the people who end up towing the boat aren't available right when they got in. Remember, it's way early at 5:52 between the time they contacted the boat towing company, which you basically put out this insurance. And so if you ever need a tow, you get it just like it would be a car. And this was how serious the problem they were having on the boat. They did not trust it to go to be able to boat to some place where it could be worked on. So what they did was they go to the original place that you get towed from. But I believe, now again, I'll always tell you when this is my belief what happened, the towing company wasn't there yet. So they take this short jaunt. And when I say short, it's, let's see, 8 minutes, 14 minutes they go to, and that's after they're at that location per the GPS, they go back to the original house. And that is likely, in my opinion, because they are offloading people. And then they head back to the boat launch that has to be used for this tow company to come get them. And that's at 7:19. So basically they go to where the boat launch is. I believe that they're told, hey, listen, we're not going to have a tow company there, because if you look at the time frame between when they would have called for the tow and when they would have been there, it was only about an hour. And that just wasn't long enough to get, again, you're towing this boat, for them to get situated. So they go drop off the people again, 10 minutes away, 14 minutes away to be exact. And then they return back to that boat launch. So again, very short. And when you have a bilge pump issue, it's not something that you can't rectify. You know, you're not going to go under, but you're going to have to keep getting the water off the boat and so forth. So that's the situation they were in. But that GPS information, I think, was critical because we wanted to see where it was. Was the boat ever in or near the location where Nolan Wells's body was found? Was the boat ever in any other location other than Horn Island, where they docked, you know, where they initially rafted up, and then that they went straight back to Mississippi mainland?
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So I think this was really important to see that the GPS information actually matched what the boys had said in that communication that was overheard about them having boat problems. Remember, too, they called the Coast Guard. But this is what I want to get into next really quick. There's another case that is very similar in some regards because it involves a drowning and it involves friends that survive versus friends that don't. And so I think this is a really important case that I wanted to bring up to you. So Daniel Irving, okay, he's a young, and again, for anybody coming in late, I apologize for not having photos. You know, I always love to put photos and videos up. So I'm not on screen. We're actually looking at what we are talking about and the people we're talking about. So forgive me, I just don't have that capability right now. But this man is Daniel Irving, E-R-V-I-N-G. Now, I'm very familiar with what Daniel Irving did with two of his buddies on this particular day, and it was about 3 months ago. What he does, and I don't know if you have boys that do this, I did, it's called, some call it cliff jumping, some call it pier jumping, whatever you want to call it, rock jumping, bridge jumping. What these guys do for the high of it all, in other words, the adrenaline rush, is they literally they go out in groups of 5, 6, 7 guys. In this case, it was 3 fellas, and they literally find bridges to jump from in water, piers to jump from. Half the time, they don't even measure what they're going to be jumping into. So there are a lot of horrific accidents that happen because the water is too shallow. And it's just, it literally, if you haven't heard of it, it happens all the time. If you live in an area that is warm down in the South, where there's lakes and where there's situations, in this case, this happened in Dallas, in a lake in Dallas that I'm very familiar with. And these boys were off bridge jumping. Again, it's just the excitement of the whole thing, and that's what they go do. And so this young man, who another again is a student athlete, African American young man, he goes and bridge jumps. Well, his two buddies survive it and he doesn't. And I really wanted to bring up this case because I need to compare and contrast it, and then also point out that horrific things do happen in terms of kids not doing the right things when it comes to these accidents, okay? And I want to make it clear that in both Nolan's case and in Daniel's case, their families are both represented by Mr. Crump. Now, Mr. Crump, and in Nolan's case, Al Sharpton, they are very much, let's just say, pro with their concerns about race and about white people mistreating black people. And so Crump is representing, again, both families. And in this case of Daniel, I want to say that it's a good thing he is, from the standpoint of pointing out this kind of information because, and I don't think this had anything to do with Crump's involvement. What this had to do with was a logical investigation to conduct for authorities. So these boys go bridge jumping. They return without Daniel. Kind of a similarity there, right? They're bridge jumping. They're doing something very dangerous. They return without Daniel. Now, in this particular case, they returned. They did not report him. And this gets ugly. They take off his clothes. They plant them, if you will, on a particular place to make it look like he wasn't bridge jumping, I believe. They erase their communications with Daniel. And again, they're not cooperative. They're in fact obstructive in the investigation and obviously did some very illegal things to cover up what happened. Now, according to the medical examination, Daniel died of drowning. So one of the ways you can tell this is, do they have water in their lungs when they die? In other words, did they breathe in that water and that caused their death? In this case, the medical examiner said yes. There was no sign of blunt force trauma. There was no sign of strangulation. There were no signs of foul play from the standpoint of these boys beating or otherwise killing Daniel prior to him drowning. Now, what they did after is absolutely horrific. Their explanation for it, and these are young boys. One was a minor, the other was 18, and their explanation was, we panicked. Here we have, he goes down, he doesn't come back up. We absolutely panic. He dies. We put his clothes here. Oh, the other thing they did was when they were driving, they had his cell phone, because again, you don't have your cell phone. They had it in the car. So they literally threw it out of the window of the car. So complete obstruction, complete adulteration of the evidence. Absolutely horrific that they would do this. And so this is the case that came right before Nolan's case. Okay. Now, I want to compare and contrast how Daniel's case differs from Nolan's case. Okay. Nolan's case, number one, the kids that he was with did not report what happened. They didn't report what happened. In Nolan's case, they did report him missing to the Coasties. Now, unfortunately, the Coast Guard did not act quickly at all because I can only imagine that they get calls all the time after this raft up. Oh, we can't find him. Oh, yeah, he ended up being with a girl. Or, oh, yeah, he ran off with another group and didn't have a cell phone, so we didn't know how to get a hold of him and blah, blah, blah. So, but they reported him that he was missing, that they were concerned. Okay, that's number one. So in Daniel's case, don't report. Nolan's case, they do report. Number two, the clothing. They do not, in the Nolan case, he is not defrocked. He is not, his clothes are not taken off. He is found in the same clothing that he was last seen in. So this was not a situation where there was somebody taking his clothes off, planting it somewhere else to look like something else happened or to cause investigators to delay in finding him, right? In Daniel's case, he was found 4 days later. In Nolan's case, 2 days later. In Nolan's case, the cell phone was found on the boat where he left it. His friends had it and they turned it over. So essentially, they did not try to hide the cell phone. They did not try to do anything that would obstruct any situation. They turned the cell phone over and they did the right thing in Nolan's case, not in the other case. I mean, in the other case, they literally threw the cell phone out the window. That's obstruction of justice. I know they're kids, they're panicked. I can't even imagine how they felt having one of their friends dead there, but it looks to me like they were way more concerned about themselves than about justice, you know, than about the truth coming to light. In Daniel's case, they were involved in a very dangerous activity. And that activity is cliff jumping slash they do it off piers, bridges, rocks, you name it, they do it. And again, it's just the adrenaline rush of jumping into the water from these heights. And, you know, it's something else. In Hawaii, they do it a lot. And most of the time, nothing happens. Most of the time. But sometimes the water level is too low and injuries can happen. Death can happen. Sometimes somebody isn't a great swimmer. In the case of Daniel, he was purportedly a good swimmer. So nevertheless, he died. And these boys, out of fear, covered it up. There were a couple other things. So in Nolan's case, they weren't doing anything inherently dangerous, right? Nothing was inherently dangerous. They were at a raft up. The riptide situation was dangerous if they got too far out. I mean, for those of you who have never been in a riptide, the tide goes in, the tide goes out. But if you get so far, and it doesn't even have to be very far out, and that riptide comes in, what it does is it literally grabs your legs and your body out from underneath you, and it just grabs you like a suction out. And the worst thing you can do is swim against it. So the more you swim against it, the more it grabs. What you have to do is actually swim toward it, and then you can get released. They are very dangerous. They're very unexpected. They are extremely problematic. But just going on a raft up wasn't dangerous. It wasn't like Daniel cliff jumping, right? That puts a whole nother piece of danger into the equation. So that was another thing that I found very different in comparing these two cases.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
I want to make sure I didn't. Oh, yes. The other thing the boys did in Daniel's case is they erased text messages. Basically, they wanted it to look like that the boys had not gone out and done this activity with him, and that they didn't want anything to do with being associated with this death. Again, total panic. Now, this is the interesting thing to me. The death investigation in Daniel's case is still open. Number one, both of these boys have been charged. One's a juvenile, one isn't, as I mentioned. They've only been charged right now with, let me make sure what the charge was, because I actually thought they should also be charged with obstruction, but they weren't. But again, this is still under investigation. Oh, yeah, tampering with evidence. They were both charged with evidence tampering. That's the easy case to make, right? Obstruction, to me, is a pretty easy case in this situation. But I think they want to look at the cell phone records, because we all know you can erase it all you want, but they're going to be able to know. So what I want to know as an investigator, was anything pre-planned on this? I mean, really, was anything nefariously done? was anything meant to have happened to Daniel? I'm talking about Daniel right now. And if there was anything nefarious in terms of anything planning, you know, they pushed him off the bridge and then they tried to hide it. They planned all this. They did this. They're going to get to the bottom of it. Doesn't matter what you erase. But right now, the charges are evidence tampering. And I think they're going to throw obstruction onto this too. But I am very curious in that case to know if there is anything even more nefarious than panicking and a cover-up, which we see all the time. We always say that it is far worse what people do when they find themselves in a panicked situation, a situation they don't want to be in. It is far worse what they do to cover it up than what actually happened. But you can bet authorities are going to figure out whether anything nefarious happened beyond the evidence tampering. So we're going to find that out. And I'm watching that case closely. But if you look at the Nolan Wells case, it just does not mimic that. Law enforcement said that the boys that he was with were cooperative from the beginning. They handed over the cell phone. They also wanted the keys. There was some delay in the keys, but I can only imagine if they didn't know where the keys were. This boat had been hauled off. They were trying to get everything off the boat. I just could see why there was a minor delay in that. I haven't heard that it's any sort of delay of significance, but they gave the phone right back. As far as we know, there has been no tampering with evidence. Specifically reported that Nolan was found dressed in what he was last seen in. Specifically reported that law enforcement has found no signs of any sort of, doing that anything happened to Nolan, such as being strangled or blunt force trauma or these items that would be outside of an accidental drowning. In other words, no foul play. And I think that's the words they exactly used. I think it is important, obviously, for Nolan's family to try to get answers and to try to understand why the boys left, why the boys left him, and for them to be comfortable with what has been said on that front. Now, having said that, when you look at Crump being involved and Al Sharp, Sharpton, and you look at the amount of money that's been raised, last I checked, it was $704,000. It's probably much more than that by now. And again, Kaepernick is paying. He's a football player that played for San Francisco. He was one of the first that started with the kneeling during the national anthem. He is paying for Nolan's autopsy, independent autopsy, and another singer, no, comedian, is paying for the funeral. So $704,000, I don't know what they're going to spend it on, but I can tell you Crump is going to be very expensive. Al Sharpton's role is going to cost money. That's what he makes his money off of, cases like this. And, if there weren't money like this involved, I don't think you would see the individual players involved that are involved. Nevertheless, I think it is very important that a full comprehensive investigation is done. We know now there's going to be a grand jury seated, which I also think is so important that you have individuals seated. In Mississippi, it's 15 to 23 grand jurors have to serve for a true bill, which just a no bill means they found no probable cause to show anything was done illegally against Nolan or surrounding Nolan's death. A true bill would mean that they did find something nefarious happened, such as it could be anything from evidence tampering to murder to manslaughter. It could be any of these things. They're going to look at that. So it could be a true bill, a no bill. And then in some grand juries, and I don't think that will be in this case, you present a case, and then the prosecutor says, listen, we're not, there's nothing here for us to even ask whether it's a true bill or no bill. And then those cases often go to the grand jury and they just sort of dissolve. Grand juries hear a lot of different cases. They don't hear one case at a time. Typically, it's multiple cases at one time. And I know as a person who presented before the grand jury more times than I can count, you go in there and then you, maybe it's just a subpoena return. Maybe it's information about digital forensics you've done, whatever, on a long-term case. You just go in there and then you leave. And then next week you come back in if you have more information. So that's kind of how it works. But in this case, I think you're going to see the prosecutor either ask the grand jury to make a determination, is there a no bill or is there a true bill against these boys that were with him? The boys all now have attorneys, and people have asked about that. Well, you've done nothing wrong. Why have an attorney? Oh my God, people are literally, I was on Cuomo the other night. I tried to post this and it's can't get it to work. But nevertheless, literally the civil rights activist I was on with, she called them murderers. And then she kind of took it back. She said, well, you know, to determine if they're murderers or something like that. That is the fever at which the accusations are flying in. I couldn't even believe that with not one shred of evidence, nothing indicating that, nothing indicating a cover-up, not one thing. And we have a lot of evidence. Like I said, we know the boat's GPS. We know that they were having trouble because of independent recording that was made. We know the Coast Guards were contacted about him being missing. We know that there was this girl that he was interested in. We know the girl said he ended up going, you know, going to go back with friends. Again, that's a timing issue. We don't have any Snapchats, according to the mom, and I wouldn't expect there to be any, but the phone is going to be looked at both by independent examiners as well as police examiners. So I am so glad that this case is going to be looked at closely. And when you look at the fact it's on the heels of Daniel Irvin's case, it makes more sense to me, since they have the same attorney, that this has been spun out of control. I think when, like I said, to be on Cuomo and have this woman say, call those boys murderers. Can you imagine? Somebody said, Jennifer, your eyes got this big. I said, well, yeah, because there's absolutely no indication that these boys ever murdered anybody. Right now, what we know from law enforcement is what they have said is an accident. And that's what they see from the evidence they have so far. We'll see, though. And again, I'm glad there's going to be a grand jury. I'm going to quickly look at, don't have much time here. Let me quickly look at any comments. I just love your guys' chat. And I'm so disappointed that I can't come earlier so to give everybody notifications so you can have your normal, you know, huge group. But I'm so glad to see all of you who are here. Yeah, you know, Cindy, I totally agree with you. I love what she says here. And listen, I can't imagine losing a child. Out of all the things that can happen in life, losing a child, I cannot imagine, you know, in speaking with, for instance, the Petitos and the Schmidts after Gabby Petito was murdered. I tell you, it's just horrible. In talking with all these parents. I did a show yesterday with Seth Rogers. He is inconsolable. I hope you watch that show so you can just see how ruined of a man he is without his son. And these parents that lose children, I don't know how they go on, but I can tell you what happens with some of them, and they're angry and they want someone to pay. Riley Strain's parents did that. They wanted those kids that he was out with that night that left their wingman, I call it, meaning you got to stay with the group. I say it all the time. And I know a lot of people say, but Jen, what are you going to do when somebody doesn't leave? You know what? You leave one person behind with them. You just do, or you drag their butts out. You just can't leave people behind because tragic things like Riley Strain, this case, I can tell you many more cases, Brian Bone, Brennan Santos. This is just off the top of my head. And I know we cover these boys all the time because they are found in water, very inebriated. We haven't seen the talks yet. We're probably not going to see it for a little while. But, you know, I think that that will end up being a contributing factor. Let's see. When we look at, I'm just going to look at all of this. They gave them everything willingly. That's what the police have said. The public can be like a massive mob. I agree. Crump and Sharpton are, I agree, because Daniel's case I hadn't heard of. Even though I'm a Dallas girl, I had not heard that case. And I was really surprised. And right when it was called to my attention, I immediately wanted to talk about it. Because at the end of the day, that's what I think the parents of Nolan are looking at. What these parents do not want is they do not want something nefarious to have happened and nothing there to be no ramifications for that, right? So everyone, it's just, there, no one wins in these situations. I mean, it's just tragic. These boys have their whole lives ahead of them, whether we're talking about Nolan or whether we're talking about Daniel, and it's absolutely horrible what has really happened in these situations. So I'm going to stay in prayer for these families. I am sick to see, because we've had no indication from either of those cases that the race card was involved. In other words, that they didn't like their friend because he was black. Because that's what you're really saying when you pull up the race card. I mean, what I see are a bunch of friends having a great time. But that's not what everybody sees. Sad. All right, everyone. Thank you. I'm so glad we didn't lose connectivity. I lost connectivity yesterday with Seth. Again, I thank each and every one of you for being here. And another horrible lesson learned. All right, all. Until next time, may justice be served.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.